Welcome to the Intuitive Health Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Rafferty, medical doctor, PhD, Reiki, and shamanic intuitive healer. I'm here to bring you on a journey of holistic healing that explores the science of the physical body combined with mental and emotional well-being, energetic and spiritual health. And I am so excited to have you here today because we will be exploring something that I am seeing a lot of at the moment in my world, in the world of friendship, relational life, and a lot of clients as well. And it's all to do with control. Now, it's interesting. I decided to record this podcast because I was seeing a lot of people that were coming to me for advice around gut health. And it's really quite interesting because the gut is one of the central powerhouses in the body that regulates so many parts of our being. It's actually mind-boggling to me. Every single client that comes through the door, I always ask them to fill out a gut health questionnaire before they come through the door. Obviously, I want to bring people on a journey of physical, mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual health. But when it comes down to the physical well-being in the body, a lot of it does center in on gut health. And so many people these days have issues in their gut. Now, we can optimize our gut through many different practices, and we will be recording an episode in the future looking at nutrition, the different pillars of lifestyle medicine that can contribute to excellent gut health, and we will be exploring that. But one of the key factors that I'm finding with everybody coming through the door is actually what's happening on an energetic level that links into our mental and emotional well-being with regard to the gut. And I usually end up taking people on a journey into the solar plexus. And if you are interested in learning more about the chakras and the energetic system, have a little listen back to a previous episode that we recorded on this system. But I am going to go into detail today a little bit with regard to the solar plexus, which sits in the upper part of the abdomen, the top of the tummy. It plays a role in the function of the stomach, that upper part of the digestive system. It's also linked to the liver, the gallbladder, the spleen, the pancreas. These are all pretty huge organs in the body. And if we look at the physical impacts, the solar plexus basically sits and overlaps directly over the stomach. Things that I tend to see, if there is deep erosion of the sense of self, or if there's overinflation of how someone is showing up in the world with regard to grandiose notions, or this deep, deep controlling nature, it's deeply overactive. I can see things like stomach ulcers. Also, within the stomach, we tend to get a lot of disturbance, dysregulation in how you're digesting, and you can end up with overproduction of acid as well. So reflux can be a huge thing if there's disturbances within the solar plexus. If you scooch over to the right-hand side of the body, just underneath the ribs, that's where the liver sits. Now, I tend to find in my clinical practice that, now, it can vary from person to person, and I tend to find that I need to actually feel into the energy of each body specifically. But on a generalized note, we can hold a lot of anger in the liver, in the fascia, in the tissues of the liver. I tend to find that actually if there's an energetic imprint of alcoholism in the family, if you drink too much perhaps, and sometimes we don't even need to drink too much. Some people are just particularly sensitive to even small quantities of alcohol. But if you are holding anger, it tends to reside within the liver space. Similarly, the gallbladder, that's where we store a lot of bile. So perhaps there's an overproduction of bile. Perhaps you're bilirubin is elevated. We also regulate a lot of that, and it's produced through the liver as well. The spleen on the left-hand side of the body involved in immune function. I tend to find that I see it on a lesser extent in clients, but if there's energy within the spleen, it can really, really impact immune function. And it's a good sign to me that actually your immune system isn't firing on all cylinders. Now, the pancreas is a super important organ, and primarily it produces insulin. And, you know, I tend to really take a deep dive into how the pancreas is functioning, what the solar plexus is looking like in people with diabetes. And it also produces a lot of bile acids and things like that, that navigate their way down into the different portions of the bowel to help with digestion. So you can see there's a lot going on inside the tummy that's linked to the solar plexus. So it is unsurprising that if there is a disturbance in the solar plexus, it can knock out everything. And you have to remember that even within the pancreas, insulin can control and regulate your sugars in the body, our metabolism, you know? And when we get disturbance within the energetic system of the solar plexus, this is going to have a knock on everything here. I tend to find that actually a lot of people that are taking a deep dive into the solar plexus energy, where there's a lot of wounding in that space with our sense of self, how we're showing up in the world, perhaps a lot of attack on self, they start to begin to struggle with their weight. So, you know, I do find that weight management has a lot to do with an energetic imprint as well. And, you know, as people gain weight or kind of become dysregulated in that energetic center, their relationship to themselves changes as well. So it's almost like this counter effect on people as they journey with the physical impacts of an energetic insult. So it's unsurprising to me when people come through and they're having some gut disturbance that there is something going on within that energy center. Now, it's a really, really fascinating energy center because it is one of the main sites, if not the main site, that we tend to give and receive a lot of energy with other people. It's one of the main places that I find we end up with leaky energy, chinks in the armor that allow maybe lower vibrational energies to get in on us. So a lot of gut disturbances going on when people are exchanging energies in their environments, in their relational life, in their friendships. A lot of kind of energetic disturbance that's happening in that spot can occur because we have chinks in our armor. Now, I tend to find that journeying with boundaries and what energetic boundaries look like to us often are a reflection of mental boundaries, emotional boundaries, physical boundaries. So if you feel very depleted, like you're losing a lot of energy and suffering from a lot of gut disturbance, I would encourage you to listen back to the episode about boundaries and also take a much more deep dive into actually how much of myself am I giving away. Do I feel responsible for everybody else's emotions and social circumstances? And if I do that, does it mean that actually I'm stepping away from my responsibility to self first and foremost? When we journey with boundaries, which can be really, really sticky, especially in familial settings, because our family are the ones who teach us the biggest lessons in life, we can really begin to take a closer look at how we show up in those relationships within the family setting, and then how they impact or are mirrored in the other relationships, perhaps in work life, friendship life, all of these things around us. Now, it's really, really interesting because I tend to find when we go deep into the chinks in the armor or the issues or the weaknesses in the boundaries, in the boundary piece, I tend to find that one of the chinks within the armor is boiling down to either our need to control versus our inability to surrender or surrendering. Now, the solar plexus is heavily linked to our identity, how we show up in the world, how we're viewed. So you can imagine in a world where like aesthetic, perfection, all of these things, constant comparison on social media, you know, we can often suffer a lot of comparison and wounding within the solar plexus that we impose upon ourselves. The solar plexus is linked to our willpower, our sense of purpose and our determination. So if you have a lovely balanced solar plexus energy, you can go out, you can achieve your goals, you can embrace your strengths, you can recognize where your power lies. There's a lovely sense of determination that's there. You're very adaptable in situations, you know? So, you know, there's a lovely ebb and a flow that goes on with the kind of showing up in a beautiful way that's determined. You can see through the goals that you've set and you can honor those goals and you can celebrate those achievements. However, I tend to find that very few people, when they initially come through the door, and this is still an ongoing journey for me too, that we actually have a balanced energy within this solar plexus. And you can be sure that if you are struggling with your gut health, that some of these themes may be very resonant with you. I tend to find that when there's disturbance within the solar plexus, we are struggling with control. We're struggling to surrender. So if we look at control and surrender as two separate entities, control, do you feel you need to micromanage situations? Do you feel you need to show up in a very dominant way in circumstances? Do you have controlling behaviors, even on a subconscious level? Now, control gives us a false sense of safety and security. It also gives us a false sense of significance, in which we seek a sense of worth and love. If we feel significant, you know, people give us that lovely adoration. However, that may be linked to low self-esteem and worth, low self-confidence. And then if we look at surrender, perhaps actually going with the flow and the divine will of life, you know, that's when things are in a lovely sense of balance. But perhaps you have submissive behaviors. Perhaps there's avoidant tendencies, wanting to avoid things because you don't quite want to look at them. Perhaps there's an inability to make decisions. So, you know, you can look at these elements of control and surrender in both a harmonious, balanced way, or you can look at them in the essence of wounding that the majority of us hold. And in doing so, we can really begin to identify where some of these wounds originated from and how we can journey through to healing them. And this is where I come in with my top 10 tips to navigate control and surrender. So obviously, the way I practice in my gorgeous space here is to get to the root of what a lot of body dysfunction is. And I do that on an energetic level. So that's why I always bring it back to the energy. Energy informs us of everything, you know. And a lot of the times we've developed beautiful, fancy tests in medicine and all of this stuff. But in my practice, when people step through the door and we go deep into an issue or a body dysfunction, we can trace it back to an emotional, energetic disruption that occurred. And with a lot of disturbance within this solar plexus energy and within the desire to control, I tend to look at the root of where this controlling behavior came from, you know? And it's so tricky because a lot of the time we don't like that we're doing this. We don't like that we're trying to control our environment. And sometimes this can be that we have checklists the length of our arm and we need to check off every single thing, control every outcome. Or it can be much more subtle than that we control behaviors outings, interactions with friends, you know. And usually when we try to control situations, it's because we are fearful of the unknown. The unknown is a space that a lot of us don't feel safe or secure in. So that's why we'll try and implement a sense of control over a social circumstance, or perhaps you will plan things within an absolute inch of your life, because actually then you have a false sense of control over what will happen and everything that will unfold as a result of that. But let's try and take a journey back to the root of that. What part of you didn't feel safe or secure when you were younger, in environments or circumstances where you couldn't control the outcome? Perhaps you had familial circumstances in which actually you felt powerless. Do you have current situations in your life, or perhaps interactions with certain family and friends, in which you still now feel powerless? So, you know, we try to control other elements of our life in order to ameliorate or make those things easier. And sometimes inability within our parental units, or perhaps our sibling units, when we feel powerless or we don't have a sense of control in some of those circumstances, we can then go into an overdrive of wanting to control outcomes in perhaps our romantic relationships or our friendships. So it's about really kind of taking a deep dive into your inner world to look at where the root of a lot of this stuff came. And I tend to find that journaling can be a great tool to do that with. If you feel pushed to the limits, if you feel like you're trying to control a situation, or perhaps you feel you have no control over a situation, you have to remember there's always mirrors and flip sides with a lot of this stuff. Take a deep dive into your inner world and journal about it. Ask your body, close your eyes, go on a journey with yourself back to the earlier times in your life when perhaps you felt you needed to step into a space in which all the outcomes needed to be controlled, or perhaps you felt powerless and had no sense of control. Second on my list would be to build a sense of self-awareness with yourself and others. Now, this leads on from looking into the root of the control issue or the powerlessness issue, and actually identifying, do I need better boundaries with certain people in my life? But also, it's about taking a really hard look at your behaviors. Do you respect other people's boundaries? Do you respect their boundaries? And I find this really, really an interesting point, because sometimes we come in, we're like, you know, I feel like people are overstepping my boundaries here. And it's like, well, are you respecting other people's boundaries too? You know, and I often see this kind of relationship play out within friendships largely. And sometimes, and a lot of clients that I have at the moment are journeying with this with regard to alcohol even. I think as a society, a lot of us, even as we get older, we're moving away from wanting to go out and numb out our pain with alcohol. And this is becoming more and more prevalent in my practice, that people are like, how do I navigate this? I don't want to drink anymore. And oftentimes we end up with a lot of anxiety or social anxiety, because actually we betray ourselves. We betray our sense of self, which is in the solar plexus, to show up in a way we feel we need to for other people, because we're not respecting our own boundary with what our intuition, with what our gut feeling is telling us. Or perhaps you have friends that actually they're not at the same place you are with some of this work. Perhaps they still like to numb out with alcohol. They don't want to take a deeper look at where they're at with things. So they will project their own need and desire to drink onto you by telling you, it's okay. Jesus, now you're going to have a little drink, aren't you? And so their own insecurity surrounding it will essentially be projected onto you. Now, this is really interesting because we all do this on our journey of growth, but that is imposing upon someone else's boundary. And it's also a projection of our own inner world onto someone else with regard to actually, are you respecting what they want? You know, if someone comes to you and says, I don't want to drink tonight, do you go, no, no, I need you to drink to make me feel better about drinking, you know? And perhaps it's a deeper reflection on, actually, I want to just numb out and detach from my inner pain, you know? Maybe they haven't gotten to the stage in which they see it as a betrayal of self either. So everybody's at a different stage on this journey, you know, and it's about honoring that. But first and foremost, it's about honoring your journey with yourself, you know, not betraying yourself, developing boundaries, but also honoring other people's boundaries. So if they come to you and say, I don't want to drink tonight, you don't question that. You just say, I honor that for you. And this applies to every other part of your life as well, not just alcohol. I'm just using this as an example because I see it a lot now with how we are changing, stepping away from substances that cause energetic and physical and mental and emotional disturbance as we kind of go through our journey of self-discovery. The third step I would recommend is identifying what limiting beliefs exist within the body. Now, I was discussing this previously with regard to my discussion with Nilesh Satguru in the last episode of the podcast. And I just really want to clarify what a limiting belief actually is. So limiting beliefs are beliefs that we hold, oftentimes inherited, okay? And keep this in mind. A lot of the time, they're not ours. They were handed down to us and just became ingrained in our infrastructure. But these belief structures and patterns, they limit our full capacity to step into our power, to take up space and to occupy that space and bring our light to the world. They're often driven by fears. And I can tell you, fears are riddled within the family history. We come from a lineage a lot of the time, even within Irish structure, where fear, it consumes people. A lot of anxieties about outcomes. We're worrying about all these things that may or may not happen in the future, rather than embodying a sense of mindfulness in the current and present moment. So I'd encourage you to look at the belief patterns that you hold and challenge yourself to actually identify whether that belief pattern comes from a place of fear. And if it is, that could potentially be a belief that is limiting your growth and your development. Okay? Limiting beliefs are one of the single most important things I encourage everybody to look at on their journey of self-discovery, because actually they are what limits our growth and our development and the beauty of what we can deliver and give to the world, you know? And especially, I've seen a lot of people come through that have the most beautiful gifts to share. And one of the things they said to me is, I'm not ready. When I'm in a place that's further along on my development journey, I'll be ready. There is never a time in which you will feel ready. That is a fear. It's a limiting belief that keeps you stuck, and it limits the world from being able to see your beautiful light and the gift that you have to offer. It takes taking that step for you to become brilliant at that thing. Nobody is ever brilliant when they take the first step, you know, but allow yourself to become brilliant by allowing yourself to expand, by feeling the fear and stepping into the journey anyway. Explore your language with yourself and others. That is the fourth step I want to explore. Because when we have limiting beliefs and when we have fears, we often speak to ourselves in a really, really destructive way. And, you know, it's usually fear orientated. But watch and check how you speak to yourself. That's the language, that's the narrative, that's the energy you are bringing into the body. Start to have a little listen to the words and how you're communicating with others. What's the type of conversation you're having? What are you communicating? Are you communicating from a place of fear, from a place of judgment? Are you projecting your wounds out into the world onto other people? When we do that, sometimes we impose upon their boundaries about maybe they don't want to be listening to the energetics of some things that we're projecting into the world. So, you know, language and how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to others, it can be huge on this journey. Okay. Number five is to develop a sense of empathy for yourself and others, to cultivate a beautiful emotional intelligence. And as we go deeper into identifying what our roots of control or powerlessness looks like, as we journey with self-awareness, we will naturally cultivate an emotional intelligence. It's important when people come to you with their fears and their worries and all of these things, that you hold space for their fears without taking on the emotional baggage or the energetic exchange that they're coming to you with, being mindful that this happens within the solar plexus, but also not making it about your shit, you know, not making it about, oh my God, you know, this is triggering a wound inside of me, I need to respond in a certain way. Just allow them to come to you, hold the space for them to express their needs and express what they want to journey through with you without making it about your wounding. That can be really tricky because some people will try to pull you in, you know, and this is where the boundary piece comes. So, you know, developing or cultivating this lovely sense of emotional intelligence can bring you on a journey. And when you have people around you that actually go on this journey with you and can hold that space for you, it is transformative. It's transformative. It can deepen relationships. It can cultivate vulnerability, closeness. Essentially, it brings you back to safety and security, which what we were discussing at the beginning was linked to control and powerlessness. So actually, if someone can come to you, you have beautiful boundaries, there's emotional intelligence going on between the two of you. If you can provide safety and security within that space, actually, it limits our need to control. And it takes the energy out of powerlessness. It's very, very powerful. Also, number six on the list would be to establish healthy habits that include meditation and visualization. Things like this basically can have a profound impact on the nervous system. So, you know, when you're in a sense of powerlessness, you know, when you're in a state of feeling you need to control or micromanage a situation, it's because your nervous system is firing off. It is triggered to bits. It is activated. Fight or flight, sympathetic activation, cortisol coursing through the veins. It's like, how can we run here? Where's the exit? Meditation brings us back into the body. There is scientific evidence that shows it can impact the sympathetic nervous system. It can impact gene activation. We know that there's research now that can show that meditation can reduce inflammation in the body. It can regulate your emotions. Instead of teaching calculus and algebra in school, we should be teaching meditation and nervous system regulation. So, you know, I really feel that if we learn to meditate, a lot of people say to me, I don't know how to do it. I can't sit with myself. You know, it makes me feel so uncomfortable. These are all signs that you absolutely need to meditate. It's never going to be an easy journey at the start. I have been meditating for years and years and years, and still there are days when I wriggle around in the seat, feeling deep discomfort with being with myself. They are the days that I need it the most. So you can access so many meditative practices online these days. Two of the practices that I use through my Buddhist teachings were the mindfulness of breathing and the metta bhavana, and I've discussed these in previous episodes, the cultivation of loving kindness and compassion from the heart space. I used to just alternate between those two meditations day in, day out. I've now reached the stage now where I include a lot of mantra work. I do a lot of Hindu mantra to clear my energy field because I work energetically on the day to day. So there are lots of different practices out there, but all you need to do is find one or two that work for you and stick with them. Be consistent. And this is what leads me into step 7, setting achievable goals for yourself. Now, when I say this, I find it quite fascinating because when I was doing my PhD, I would sit down, my goals would be absolutely outrageous. I was never going to meet those goals. The things I used to set for myself every day were unrealistic. So it's about recognizing achievable goals. And often I tend to say to people, whatever you think you're going to achieve in a day, half it. So, you know, you're not putting pressure on yourself to do things that you're not going to achieve. And then you're not going to beat yourself up when you don't achieve them. Setting realistic goals and tying in this meditative work here, like I say, sitting into maybe just setting yourself a starting point of 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes in the entire day. You can absolutely achieve that. Instead of sitting on your phone, scrolling, doom scrolling for an hour on Instagram, just try and meditate for 5 days, you know? And then when you do celebrate your achievements, when you do manage to actually achieve those goals, and I used to love on Insight Timer, the app that I love meditating with, there's little stars that you get. Now, it does feed into my perfectionist nature of kind of achieving and getting gold stars for my behaviors. But I actually used to love and be very gentle with myself with regard to actually, oh my God, I've done 7 days in a row. I've done 2 weeks in a row. I've done a month, you know? So just setting achievable, realistic goals. I often would say setting them with meditation, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, working yourself up. Don't be hard on yourself. And celebrate the little achievements and the wins when you can. Step 8 with regard to control would be to actually contemplate and journal about the fact that we can't control all of the details in our life. Control is an illusion. Like I was saying, it's an illusion that provides us with a false sense of safety and security. What I tend to journey with this element is to really lean heavily into the divine energy and the consciousness that exists around us in the planet, in the universe, in Mother Earth. You know, sometimes when we sit into the flow of things, and, you know, a beautiful book, which I've mentioned on this podcast before, is The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer, because it's a very, very powerful book that looks at actually relinquishing control. And when control comes up, can we surrender? Because actually, when we come into alignment with the universal flow of energy, we lean into divine inspiration. Things happen in our life because we are raising our vibration and we're magnetizing to us things that are for our highest good and our destiny. When we try and hold things so tightly and control things, we block the flow of that energy from coming in. So maybe try and contemplate, you know, if I step back from trying to control an outcome here, or trying to grasp it so tightly because I want the outcome to be X, Y, or Z, you begin to let the flow of divine universal energy into your world. And when you can do that and recognize that actually it's so much more powerful than anything our human minds that can try to control things would ever concoct. So just leaning into that kind of knowing that things are divinely inspired. Step 9 would be to seek help outside of yourself to explore things. Sometimes if you have a beautiful mentor, maybe if you have someone in your life, a friend that's on a similar journey to you, that can hold safe space for you to explore these themes within your life, it can be really, really powerful. It can be really powerful. That's what I tend to do on the day-to-day in my practice. Help people to identify what the root is, to explore their inner world, you know? And ultimately, this leads to point 10. Learn how to heal these past wounds. I help people to do that on an energetic level. Through my shamanic practices, we do soul retrievals. We reparent the inner child. We provide the beautiful younger versions of ourselves safe space to feel loved, so that actually control or avoidance, powerlessness, these things, they become things of the past. We don't need to define ourselves by those things anymore. And you know, when we go on this journey of healing, where we learn to forgive, forgiveness is one of the most powerful tools. And I've said this in previous episodes. But sometimes we actually have to go in and feel the stickiness, feel the turmoil, feel the sadness and the anger and the guilt and the shame and all of these crazy, deep, hurtful feelings we need to feel. We need to experience the friction and the ruptures that occur as a result of recognition of these things before we can actually lean into forgiveness, to forgive ourselves for feeling like we needed to step into a sense of control because maybe at one point we felt very powerless. And we can then forgive others for their wounds that they carry and for showing up in a way that they were conditioned to show up in themselves. But sometimes we can't do this all at once. It takes time. Be gentle with yourself. Some of these facets of our being can take weeks and months and years to heal. And then sometimes they can represent themselves years down the line with a different mask. And we're like, oh God, I thought I worked through this. But in fact, it's representing itself because maybe we're looking at it on a deeper level of ourself. Okay. So thank you so much for journeying through what control and powerlessness look like today. And if you are struggling with gut health issues, I really challenge you to maybe take some of these steps to explore your sense of self, to take a deep dive into the solar plexus, to explore some of these common themes that I see in folks that come through the door with gut-related issues. And as always, I'm always here to answer any questions. Reach out via Instagram at The Intuitive Medic, or you can touch base with me via my website, www.intuitivehealth.ie. You can contact me. I do one-to-one sessions as well. Reach out if you want me to help you on the healing journey. And with love from my heart to yours, as always, have a beautiful week, Dr. Anthony.